We're going to reorient the schedule slightly. This is known as real-time symposium planning. The lunch, because of the interaction with people at in the center at the cafeteria, we're going to slide the lunch down to about 1 o'clock so that Hugh Scott's talk on touchdown dynamics will come in yet this morning. And because of that, and because the coffee break is scheduled pretty early, and you just finished one, I think we'll have the coffee break after the Loftus talk. That means we'll have a relatively short session this afternoon. At the end of that session, we'll have Aaron Cohen discuss the handouts. It turns out that the printing load has been slightly high, and so we'll be in a position of mailing the handouts and the information out to you, but they will be made available. Today's session is the first one of the symposium on normal working hours. I'm not sure whether that increases or decreases your enthusiasm for watching it. The first talk is on communications. I have normally tried to introduce each speaker with some appropriate comments about his name. Many of you seem to have gotten tired about that and said, you know, that's the last straw, so I won't say anything about Doug Broom except that he's going to talk about it.
I'll begin my presentation with a review of the spacecraft functions that are provided by the two spacecraft modules and the launch vehicle. At S-band, the command service module and the lunar module systems provide dual capabilities for our voice, telemetry, both at the high rate and the low rate, ranging, tracking, and television. One difference in the capabilities of the two spacecraft is for television, in that the lunar module cannot transmit television in flight. It can only transmit from the lunar surface after erection of the lunar surface erectable antenna by an extravehicular astronaut. In addition to these capabilities, the command module provides an up data capability, voice and data playback, and scientific data transmission, both recorded and real time. At VHF, both modules have a voice capability and a low bit rate telemetry transmission capability from the lunar module to the command service module, which is used during descent and ascent. The command service module, or the command module rather, also has a recovery function for voice and beacon at both VHF and HF. For the launch vehicle, the instrument unit carries an S-band, telemetry equipment, tracking, ranging, up data, and at VHF telemetry and at C-band tracking aids. Also, the propulsion stages have the ability of transmitting VHF telemetry and accepting VHF range safety destruct commands. The manned spaceflight net capabilities to support these spacecraft and launch vehicle functions are shown on these two charts. The chart on the left are the ground-based stations, the chart on the right, the ship and aircraft. Note that the capabilities for the S-band grounds, for the ground stations is identical except for Madrid, Canberra, and Goldstone, which provide the additional capability of television reception from lunar distance. Also, several of the stations cannot track the C-band transponders located on the launch vehicle. There is an error in the chart to your right in that we've omitted two of the ships. Ship number one, which is the insertion ship, and ship number two, which is the injection ship. However, these two ships have identical characteristics, capabilities as this ship number three, which is also an injection ship. Differences here, the two reentry ships do not have up data capability, and they utilize a 12-foot antenna, a parabolic antenna, instead of a 30-foot, as do the injection reentry ship, injection insertion ships. The instrumentation aircraft do not have up data capability, nor do they have voice and beacon reception capability at HF. You notice that recovery forces have VHF and HF voice and beacon reception and voice transmission capability, but only an S-band direction finding capability. They cannot receive any communications at S-band other than direction finding. The next chart is a chart you've seen several times, and that's the ground track for the orbital phase of the lunar mission. These circles represent the range coverage capability of a given station for a 100 nautical mile orbit. Another indication not shown here is that the Goldstone, Canberra, and Madrid stations have overlapping coverage from an altitude when the spacecraft is at an altitude of 8,000 miles or greater. The diagram showing the complete blocks diagrams for the systems is somewhat complicated, so I've broken it down into the data sources for the two modules, spacecraft modules, and then into RF systems. First, you see here are the data sources. The systems are quite similar and actually differ only in the basic systems and the way the equipment is packaged. In the command module, we have as data sources the central timing equipment, sensors through the signal conditioner into the PCM telemeter, voice signals from the audio center, and the data storage equipment and television camera. Now, this symbology represents circuit or block redundancy within a given box, as opposed to this, which is a box redundancy, which you'll see in the next set of charts. Now, the central timing equipment has circuit redundant elements, whereas the signal conditioner has a redundant power supply. And for the headsets and microphones for the three astronauts, we have three sets of these, one for each astronaut, and each set has redundant headsets and microphones. The pre-modulation processor has a redundant power supply. And in addition, as you'll see in the next diagram, we have both an FM and a PM S-band transmission capability. Therefore, we have two voice modulators and two PCM telemeter modulators in this box. Now, for the PM transmission, the real-time transmission of telemetry, we can use the prime PCM modulator, or we can use the FM modulator into the PCM link by switching. The same is also true of the voice modulator. The PCM telemeter itself utilizes both circuit and block redundancy to achieve the required reliability. Going to the lunar module system, the difference in terminology here, signal processor as opposed to pre-modulation processor, is the name was changed because this particular box also includes the audio center functions. As this was really just an aid to packaging. But the audio center here is made by Collins Radio in both cases, and the signal processor is made by Collins Radio, as is the pre-mod processor. Again, we have a television equipment, audio center, this time two separate audio centers, but again with redundant headsets and microphones. Signal conditioner has redundant power supply. For critical parameters, we use redundant inputs to the telemeter system. The PCM telemeter and the lunar module includes also the timing equipment that is shown separate in the command module. This is a weight-saving item for the lunar module. Now, this box provides both data inputs to the signal processor and the timing input. Next, we have here the S-band system for the two spacecraft. I'll start with the lunar module system, since it's a simpler system. It consists of an S-band coherent transponder with a completely redundant transponder as a backup, a 20-watt power amplifier with a redundant power amplifier as a backup, and we have a bypass mode in order to conserve prime power. When we do not require high bit rate telemetry transmission, we can bypass this power amplifier and go straight to the antennas. The antenna system for the lunar module consists of two omni-antenna radiating elements, an in-flight S-band steerable antenna, and a lunar surface erectable antenna. This steerable antenna is a 2-foot parabolic dish with a transmit gain of 20.3 dB and a receive gain of 16.3 dB. Beam width for the antenna is 13 degrees. The lunar surface erectable antenna is a 10-foot diameter parabolic antenna which is deployed by the astronaut on erection of this stand. This antenna has a transmit gain of 34 dB, a receive gain of 32.5 dB, and a beam width of 3 degrees. The reason for this antenna is get primarily prime power conservation and also to provide a high-quality TV transmission capability from the lunar surface. As I said, this antenna is only 24 inches in diameter. This antenna is 10 feet, This allows us during the lunar surface operation to transmit both low bit rate telemetry data and voice signals from the lunar surface without the use of the high power amplifier. This means that we can stay in a 3/4 watt mode for 90% of the lunar stay time and not a 20 watt mode. Going to the command service module system, we again have a coherent transponder with a redundant transponder. We have two power amplifiers here that are not shown as redundant in this diagram, and that normally we use the power amplifier number 2 with the PM transmitter of the transponder. We use power amplifier number 1 with the FM transmitter, which is a separate box carried on the command module in addition to the transponder. This transmitter is used for TV transmission and for playback of recorded data, either low bit rate, high bit rate telemetry, or voice. The switching is such that should we lose this power amplifier, we can switch the number 1 power amplifier in for use with the PM transmitter. Again, we have a bypass mode for the same reason we have in the lunar module, and that's to conserve prime power. This box is mislabeled in the diagram and should be the UpData digital command system decoder. This arrow is also mislabeled. This should indicate real-time commands to the data system. Also, through the UpData link, we provide an update to the central timing equipment and computer update. The antenna system for the command service module consists of four helical cavity antennas, flush-mounted on the command module's skin at the maximum diameter in the toroidal section. These antennas are located 90 degrees apart. A service module high-gain antenna consists of a four-dish array, each dish 31 inches in diameter, and also includes a cross-dipole array for a wide beam width. I'd like to go into a little detail on the antenna. In the transmit mode, we have three beam widths, wide, medium, and narrow. The wide beam is a 45-degree beam width, the medium 12.3 degrees, and the narrow 4.4 degrees. The wide beam width, the 45 degrees, is used initially at a 2,500 nautical mile range. Immediately following transposition and prior to docking, we go to the wide beam antenna to acquire adequate signal gain to allow us to send high bit rate transmissions to the MSFM. Medium is used during the translunar flight and transearth phases, and the narrow is used at lunar distance. The receiver has two beam widths, a coarse and a fine. The coarse is 45 degrees, and the fine is 5 degrees. The reason for the difference here is to simplify the spacecraft electronic system, and that since this antenna uses an RF tracking system, it searches for the RF signal at a wide beam mode, the 45 degree mode, and depending on the switch position that the transmit switch is in, it either stays in the wide beam when it acquires a signal or switches to the narrow beam if the transmit beam is switched to either medium or narrow beam. This enables the automatic lockup and automatic switching to a maximum gain if required at lunar distance and does not burden the astronaut with manual switching for this purpose. On the lunar module, this also utilizes RF tracking. The lunar surface erectable antenna has a pointing device and is manually pointed by the astronaut. The VHF systems in the lunar module and in the command service module are identical. From an RF standpoint, they both utilize 296.8 megacycle transmitter and receiver and a 259.7 megacycle transmitter and receiver. I'll go into how these equipments are used a little later in the presentation. One slight difference here is the particular connection point for our extravehicular astronaut pre-egress checkout. In the command module, we have a port on the VHF multiplexer that we manually connect into. On the lunar module, the antenna switch turned out to be the best place for this. And leakage through this switch back into the 259.7 megacycle receiver provides a relay capability to the Earth for checkout. The functions served are, for the command module, two-way voice transmission and reception of LEM low bit rate data, which is then recorded. For the lunar module, it's two-way voice plus low bit PCM out to the command module. The antenna system for the command module consists of a two-element scimitar antenna system located on the service module. For the lunar module, it's a spiral-type antenna with an additional dipole antenna used for EVA communications. The necessity for an extra antenna for the lunar module is caused by the fact that these two antennas are optimized for lunar module command service module communications. and as such have very little radiation along the lunar surface. This required a separate antenna for astronaut communications. The final diagram here shows the equipment used during the recovery phase for the command module. Include the HF transceiver, which is a two-way voice transceiver, plus a beacon transmission capability, a VHF recovery beacon that's provided in the spacecraft, a VHF survival transceiver and beacon that's provided in the crew survival equipment, and we also use the 296.8 megacycle transmitter and receiver for two-way voice communications with the recovery forces. The antenna systems used here are a 16-foot erectable antenna that's deployed upon attainment of stable one flotation position by the command module. We have two VHF recovery antennas, which are approximately 16 inches long and are erected following main parachute deployment. We have a jack in the command module where, should this equipment fail or we've depleted the post-landing battery supplies, this transceiver and beacon, which has its own internal battery, can be switched into the spacecraft antenna. Can be plugged in the spacecraft antenna, rather. Going now to a verbal description here of the pertinent data, the S-band for the command service module operates in the coherent link at an up frequency of 2106.4 and a down frequency of 2287.5 megacycles. The separate FM transmitter operates 15 megacycles lower at 2272.5. As I said before, it operates through either a four-element omni antenna or a high-gain antenna with RF tracking. Transmission power capabilities are 3, quarter watt, 5 watts, and 20 watts. And the power level selected is selected as a function of the range and data rate requirement. The lunar module system consists of a single coherent transponder at uplink of 2101.8 megacycles and a downlink of 2282.5. The antenna here is threefold, the two omni in-flight antenna, the high-gain antenna with RF tracking, or the lunar surface erectable antenna. The power modes here are three-quarter watts or 20 watts. The reason for this being three-quarter as opposed to the quarter watt for the command module is that the antenna itself is smaller, the in-flight antenna is, and therefore we have a higher RF power requirement to get low to high bit rate data down during flight. The VHF system for the two modules is, as I've described earlier, identical and operates at these two frequency combinations. In addition, the command module has a 243 megacycle recovery voice and beacon. All RF powers involved are 5 watts. And the antenna systems are the two scimitars on the service module, the two VHF recovery antennas on the command module, and for the lunar module, the two helices on the ascent stage and the omni antenna. The HF system for the command module operates at 10.006 megacycles with two-way voice or beacon transmission capability. This should be stricken from this chart. Power output is 20 watts peak envelope power in single sideband and 5 watts in double sideband. The antenna here is a 16-foot erectable whip. Launch vehicle VHF requirements submit using 15 VHF transmitters allocated per stage as shown in this chart. These transmitters have a power output of 18 watts and operate through omni antenna systems. Tracking requirements are met for the launch vehicle by the use of a transponder for use with pulse-type radars, a transponder for use with the Azusa system, and the coherent S-band system. You'll notice that the coherent frequency, the pair of frequencies used in the launch vehicle are identical to those used in the lunar module. However, the time of use of these frequencies is such that the distance between the two vehicles is adequate to ensure no frequency interference. The power output for the S-band system is 20 watts through an omni antenna. Also, like the command module system, the launch vehicle has a separate FM transmitter at 2277.5 megacycles. It also radiates at 20 watts through an omni antenna system. The lunar surface experiments package operates with an uplink of 2119 megacycles, and there are 3 downlinks shown. However, a single package at a time will have only 1 downlink. The experiments people have requested 3 frequencies in it over a period of a year, which is the lifetime of a package. They anticipate leaving multiple packages on the lunar surface. Power output for this system is 1 watt through a helical antenna with a design life of 1 year at 100% utilization. One PCM downlink is used at a bit rate of 1,060 bits per second, and they normally operate in conjunction with a 30-foot antenna on the Earth's surface. The uplink command system for the lunar surface package provides the capability for system on-off, activation of experiments, experiment mode changing, and has additional command capability not yet being used. Reviewing again the functional capabilities provided by these systems, there are Earth spacecraft two-way voice, Earth spacecraft EVA voice relay and conference, telemetry from the launch vehicle, spacecraft modules, and the lunar surface experiments package to Earth, updated to the launch vehicle, CSM, and LSEP from Earth, tracking information for the launch vehicle, command service module, and lunar module to enable utilization of ground-based guidance navigation capability, the reception of television from the command service module and the lunar surface, recorded data playback from the command service module to Earth, and it provides recovery location capability. The primary means used for providing CSM Earth voice is the S-band system for the deep space phases of the mission, for the in-flight phases. During recovery, the 243 megacycle and the 10.006 megacycle recovery equipments are also used. We have, as a primary link, the S-band tape dump, which will dump the recorded CSM lunar module voice conversations that are recorded when the two modules are behind the moon. The LIM system, the primary voice link, is the S-band duplex system. The primary link between the two modules is the use of the VHF equipment in a 296.8 megacycle simplex mode. For either module and extravehicular operation communications, we use the VHF equipment in a 296.8 megacycle module to EVA transmit and 259.7 megacycle EVA to module receive. In this mode, as you'll see on a later chart, we also receive telemetry data from the EVA. The backup capabilities are provided by the use of the redundant RF equipment for the CSM Earth link, and we can also communicate at VHF during the Earth orbital phases. The backup to the modules, between the two modules, is by alternate use of the four VHF equipments on each spacecraft, and the usage you would pick would depend on what type of a failure you had had. But with this equipment, we can have two separate duplex links or two separate simplex links. The backup for the module EVA communications is provided by a reversal of the equipment you're using, where you would now transmit at 259.7 from the module and receive at 296.8 megacycles. The reason for the frequency reversal for this backup is to simplify the system in the suit and to make it smaller. The lunar module backup for module Earth communications is the redundant S-band equipment. The alternate VHF for the two modules I've mentioned earlier, and they have the same redundant backup capability for our lunar module extravehicular communications. The voice relay and conference capability, I think the easiest way I can explain this chart is to say that any party in the link, the extravehicular astronaut, lunar module, the Earth, or the command service module, can be used to set up a relay to any other receiver in the link. In a conference capability, the maximum case we can get is all four parties tied in. All four parties can hear or speak or interrupt at any time. There'll be no problem with this system of Vox locking up or of receiver capture that would cause one person to tie up the line and no one else to be able to get in. Saying that again, I guess a little simpler, nobody can block this line. If somebody talks too much, you can tell them to shut up. Primary telemetry capability for the launch vehicle is provided during launch by the VHF PCM link and in orbit. For injection and post-injection, the S-band PCM link is used. This is the FM transmitter, the S-band FM transmitter. For the backup, we show no backup to the VHF PCM link for the launch vehicle, and this is primarily due to Bermuda's being a single station. So for a small period of the launch trajectory, we don't have a backup to the S-band, to the VHF PCM. I made a mistake in that one. There is no backup here, but the S-band system is the backup. For our post-injection, the S-band command and communication system, which is the launch vehicle's coherent transponder, transmits the same PCM data as does the separate FM transmitter. And this is their backup for S-band. For the CSM and LEM, the prime link is the coherent transponder, the backup of the redundant elements. In addition, we have the tape dump capability from the command module and the transmission of low bit rate telemetry from the lunar module to the command module during descent and ascent when the LEM is not in line of sight of the Earth. There is no backup to this LEM to CSM telemetry link. The extravehicular astronaut prime link I've discussed already. It's the same 259.7 megacycle carrier from the astronaut that has voice. In the spacecraft, the voice and telemetry subcarriers are demodulated and then remodulate the S-band carrier for relay to the Earth. This voice is also detected in either the command module or the lunar module, depending on the spacecraft the EVA is operating outside of and is provided to the crewmen that are inside the module. There is no backup to the telemetry transmission capability from the suit. The primary tracking capabilities for the launch vehicle are met during launch and orbit by the C-band radar, and another system for launch is the Azusa system. Injection and post-injection for the launch vehicle is tracking capability is provided by their coherent transponder. The backup for the launch phase is a C-band radar in a skin track mode. Backup for orbital phase is the spacecraft S-band system. And should both S-band systems fail in the command service module, the C-band radar transponder can be used as a third backup. For lunar missions, tracking for the CSM and LEM are provided by the coherent transponder. This transponder allows two-way Doppler tracking and provides capability for the turnaround of a digital range code, which when matched with a model stored on the ground can resolve the range ambiguity inherent in a Doppler system. The backup system here is a redundant S-band system, as it is for the lunar module. For up data, the launch vehicle and the command service module both use a digital command system in conjunction with the S-band receiver. The launch vehicle's digital command system utilizes built-in redundancy. However, the command service module backup system for the decoder doesn't exist except in the voice link, which we consider adequate for the up data computer and real-time commands as a backup. The digital command system provides the capability in the command module for real-time commands, CTE update, and computer update. There is no updater capability in the lunar module except the voice link. The real-time ground command functions that are available for the ground to control the data system in the command service module are shown on the right chart. These include flight crew alarm signal, PCM data rate, S-band power, S-band ranging, S-band tape in conjunction with the tape recorder, S-band PCM on-off, this cuts the modulator on, an abort request light, and a radio command capability to switch from the high-gain antenna to the omni-antenna element that's opposite the high-gain antenna. This allows the ability to track and communicate at low bit rate and voice with the command module during the barbecue modes when the antenna is blocked and cannot see the Earth, the high-gain antenna. In addition, we have a reset switch, which should the ground command any of these functions in any combination, when their command is over, they can reset all these switches to the position they were in prior to any commands being sent. Go now to duty cycles by mission phase, and I've got some graphic aids here to begin with to give you a better feel for how the system's used. For ascent and Earth orbit, we utilize the coherent transponder and the separate FM transmitter through the Omni antenna system to the command service module. During translunar and trans-Earth coast phase, the only change here is that we go to the high-gain antenna. The backup for this phase to the high-gain antenna is the Omni antenna system again, but we would have to then switch to low bit rate in order to maintain adequate signal margin for communications. When we get to deep space or in the vicinity of the moon, again, the communications with the command service module are the three S-band links and through the high-gain antenna, and with the lunar module, the coherent system with the lunar module. through its high gain antenna. We have two communication links between the two modules. One is the 296.8 megacycle two-way simplex voice link. The other is the 259.7 megacycle transmission from the lunar module to the command module of low bit rate data. Extravehicular operations at any time outside the command service module will take place as I've described earlier. Voice and telemetry being at 259.7. Going down to lunar surface operations, we have the capability for supporting either single or dual extravehicular operations. Disregard this line since we're not operationally planning to use it. But we have with one extravehicular astronaut, the two links, the two VHF links, the relay of the voice and telemetry over the S-band link to the Earth, and if necessary, a communication, direct voice communication link between the EVA and the command module. Whenever the command module is in line of sight of the Earth, by relaying the VHF through the S-band and up again and back down. With two astronauts out, we use the same pair of frequencies for the second astronaut, but we can only receive telemetry from one astronaut at a time. And the astronaut being received from is controlled by voice command from the ground. To switch from astronaut 1 to astronaut 2 for telemetry, voice command would tell astronaut 1 to cut his telemetry off, and once a clear carrier had been received with voice only, then he would give the command to cut the astronaut number 2's telemetry on. I'll try to cut down the conversation on these. The primary functions served by the systems during launch and injection and during translunar injection are voice, high bit rate telemetry, ranging, tracking, and up data. These capabilities exist for 100% of the time during these phases of the mission. We don't plan to use low bit rate telemetry during launch to injection or translunar injection, nor do we plan to use voice and data playback. For our Earth parking orbit, the 26% numbers you see here are derived based on the ground track you saw earlier and the station coverage provided during that ground track. The 74% number for low bit rate telemetry is based on the assumption that we'll record low bit rate telemetry in the command module at any time that we're not in line of sight of a ground station and then dump when we come up on that station. This accounts for the slightly lower figure of 20% in that we would acquire first the spacecraft on the prime carrier and then begin the dump on the separate FM transmitter, which provides for slightly less coverage. The 1% number shown for ranging is merely to indicate that the ranging capability is very short duration, not the capability, but the usage. And that once the range fix is established, the S-band system, as long as it maintains lock, will continue to update its count. And during the translunar coast, we again have voice, tracking, and up data capability 100% of the time, and that any time we have communications at all, we can track, and we can communicate by voice and up data. The 90% for high bit rate and the 10% for low bit rate here are reversed. We would periodically transmit data at high rate for assessment by the ground, but normally during translunar coast, we would transmit at low bit rate for 90% of the time. Mid-course correction and lunar orbit insertion, again, we have the 100% capability for the prime functions. Again, no low bit rate telemetry, and we would have voice and data playback during all three of these phases only as required, since we should be in continuous line of sight of the Earth. Television is shown during the translunar coast period as 2% for lack of a better number, in that we don't have the timeline usage of the TV system established. And we don't anticipate transmission of TV during mid-course correction and lunar orbit insertion. During the numbers you see here across the board for 60% are based on the line of sight time that the command module or the lunar module are in line of sight of the Earth. And this calculation here shows that approximately 40% of the time you're behind the moon. The 10% for high rate telemetry is again for the solo coast period, is again the assessment that we will monitor low bit rate telemetry most of the time, with a periodic update to high bit rate telemetry. Ranging is shown as this low value for the same reason as I said earlier, that once you have acquired a range fix when the command module or lunar module come from behind the eastern limb of the moon, there's no requirement to update that fix unless for some reason you break lock with a spacecraft. Note that during the descent, we have over here at VHF a 100% capability of communication from the lunar module to the command service module at VHF telemetry during the descent. However, as soon as the lunar module comes around the eastern limb of the moon and acquires lot with the ground, the astronauts will switch to a high rate transmission and transmit directly to the Earth. The command module, meantime, would be acquired by the ground and would dump the recorded limb low bit rate data at that same time also, while transmitting its own high rate data. The lunar surface experiments package is shown as a 90% operation for the lunar stay phase, and we expect we'll use 10% of the time at a stage just erecting the system. During ascent, the numbers again apply here the same as I explained earlier. During ascent, there'll be no low bit rate telemetry transmission. We'll be continuously on high rate at S-band, again until the lunar module disappears, this time behind the western limb of the moon, at which time it will go to a low bit rate transmission to the command module. Voice utilization at VHF is shown as 100% here, in that we expect fairly continuous communication between the CSM and the lunar module during ascent. Rendezvous and docking, both VHF systems are used 100% of the time, in that we would be behind the moon and cannot use the S-band system. Trans-Earth injection, there would be no further need for the VHF system when we go back to S-band, where we get the basic capabilities again of voice, high-rate telemetry, tracking, ranging, and up data. For trans-Earth coast, it's the same as trans-lunar coast. Anytime we have the system locked up, we have the ability to voice, track, or up data, and can range whenever we desire. And this one is shown correctly, and that we would use high-rate telemetry during this phase only 10% of the time and low-rate 90% of the time. Television, again, shown as 2%, and that we brought the camera back from the lunar surface. For mid-course correction and entry to blackout, we again have 100% coverage capability for the basic functions. We don't anticipate using voice and data playback during entry to blackout, nor television, nor low-rate telemetry. For recovery, we have three equipments and two modes. The HF is used for long-range direction finding. The VHF beacon is used for shorter-range direction finding by the recovery aircraft and ships. And as I said earlier, the survival beacon has, in addition to a beacon transmission at recovery frequency, a two-way voice capability. And finally, we have a swimmer hardline umbilical for communication between button-up astronauts and swimmers in the water. Some words are required here to explain these low utilizations you see here. The VHF recovery beacon is shown as a 50% operation. This is an error, and it's actually a 40% operation. In order to conserve prime power and allow us a 48-hour recovery capability, a power programmer cuts this transmitter on for 2 seconds and off for 3 seconds, cycled continuously for 48 hours. For the HF voice, we have a low percentage shown, in that VHF voice would only be used when the recovery forces are near to the spacecraft. For HF, we have a slightly different operation for the equipment, but again to conserve prime power. And this says that upon impact and deployment of the antenna, we'll transmit carrier for 6 minutes, single sideband voice for 2 minutes, and then listen for 52 minutes. This will be repeated hourly for the 48-hour period. At the end of 48 hours, if the spacecraft has still not been located, there are multiple units of the survival beacon transceiver on board with their own power supplies, which can still provide a VHF recovery capability. And here at MSC, we've been conducting an S-band compatibility test program in order to allow minimization of any incompatibility problems we have in flight, due to our having to build both the ground system and the spacecraft system simultaneously. This compatibility program has encompassed the equipment for the ground, which is we're using actual ground equipment, lunar module equipment, command service module equipment, and we have used the S-4B command and communication system equipment. As you can see, the command service module Block 1 engineering compatibility tests were completed in December, and the report issued about the end of March. The Block 2 engineering model, which was a model built under MSC contract to the Block 2 specifications, was completed also in December, and the report issued at the end of March. The S4B test program was completed at the end of March, and the report issued first part of June. The Command Service Module Block 1 production unit compatibility test program was completed in June, and the report is due out shortly. The CSM Block 2 qual program was begun yesterday with the receipt of the Block 2 communications equipment. There will be a gross compatibility check here for a few weeks, then the equipment will be loaned to Goddard for a flyby program. During the time that Goddard is using this equipment, lunar module equipment will undergo a gross compatibility test. And upon receipt of the Block 2 equipment back from Goddard, the complete detail compatibility program will be run and scheduled for the completion about mid-December of 66. This will support the Spacecraft 101 flight. The lunar module then, upon that completion of that program, will undergo its detailed compatibility test. Now, the tests you see here are merely to indicate that a certain number of special tests that are now being considered, such as RF tracking, relay modes, and things of that nature. So far, this program is on schedule and supporting the flight program. And this concludes the presentation.
Any questions or discussion? Yes. Has it been determined whether the transmission from the experiments package can go on during the termination of the mission?
There's no reason why it can't. We have multiple transmissions from the command service module alone at S-band, plus the lunar module's transmissions. These are all separated by an adequate frequency margin, and the antennas used to support the lunar surface package are not the same antenna systems used to support the spacecraft. Therefore, it should be no problem. Again, you use a 30-foot... The question was, will the second lunar landing affect the operations of the first lunar surface experiment package? Again, you're using different frequencies and different ground-based equipment, and there should be no problem.
It's only if we land on top of it would there be a problem.
I didn't hear all that one.
I think it's done one of the first. It's one of the first things that's done in the present timeline. I think Loftus can pick that question up when he talks. Yes, Gene.
Is there a power limitation that goes with 5%?
It could be larger. The 5% or 3%, I believe, 5% I showed was based on just a guess of how often you use the camera. Adequate power is on board to use it considerably longer than that.
Any other questions?